I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Judge not that you be not judged. For the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and the measure you will use it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
What does it mean to forgive? Now, we can go to the dictionary and find the meaning, at least a meaning, to cease to feel resentment against another on account of wrong, to give up a claim of retribution, to absolve, to pardon, to remit the penalty. The original language of the Bible, of the New Testament, it literally means to send away, to put away as if it never happened. But the question this morning that I'd like to ask, that I would like us all to think about, is why is it easier to judge than it is to forgive? Why do we find forgiveness such a difficult task? Could it be that because forgiveness is unearned, because forgiveness is unmerited? No, forgiveness is a free gift. Let's say you still owe 10 years on your mortgage, and tomorrow you get a call from the bank and say, you know what? Forget about the other 10 years. We're going to clear your title and give it to you today. Did we earn it? No. It was a gift. Listen to the word. Forgive. You cannot say the word without saying give. It is a gift. It is unmerited. It's unearned. And many times, it's not deserved. Forgiveness is a pardon. Do we deserve God's forgiveness? No. Can we earn God's forgiveness? No. And if we tell ourselves that we're not going to forgive someone because they don't deserve it, then we do not understand just what forgiveness is. It is a gift. And that is probably one of the reasons why it's so difficult for us to do it. Forgiveness is also, at least within our economy, unnatural. You still owe 3 car payments, and the bank says, look, don't worry about it. We're going to close out the books. Millennium after millennium, we have been programmed and conditioned to live by an unforgiving principle. People do not naturally forgive. It is a discipline. It is a Christ-like discipline. And forgiveness is crucial to our mental and physical health. In its very basic form in the New Testament, it means to release, to send away, to set free. But you see, forgiveness is not just about sending someone else or setting somebody else free. It's also about freeing ourselves. When we truly forgive, we release self. We are setting ourselves free. We would all agree that Job got the short end of the stick because of Satan, that he went through an awful lot. And you could understand maybe where there would be resentment and everything else building up within Job. But there's this concept in forgiveness about being set free. In Job 5 and verse 12, he frustrates the devices of the crafty so that their hands achieve no success. The resentment, when we're angry, when we are resenting, we cannot prosper. It's like we're trying to drag this anchor around us and moving on with our lives. Resentment means that we are clinging to the past. And that means that living in that past, we are continually being hurt over and over and over again. How many of us, and I'm sure there's probably a few in here that might know of someone who has ruined their lives, their health, or their marriage, or their family by hanging on to resentment, by failing to forgive. Job 18 and verse 4, it says that you are torn to pieces because of your anger. Did Paul say in Ephesians 4 and verse 26, do not let the sun go down on your anger, just to put more words in his letter? Did he say it because there was a reason behind it? How quickly do you fall asleep at night when you're angry? If you're anything like me, you're laying there tossing and turning till the wee hours of the morning, till finally exhaustion knocks you out. Sleep seems to be forever getting there because of what we carry. Let's forget it. Let it go. Send it away. Because it's good for us. Being critical, having that condemning and judgmental spirit leads to hate. And Jesus in Matthew 5 and verse 22, he equates hate to mental murder. And the judgment is the same. But forgiveness is crucial also to our spiritual well-being. Just how crucial is it? Jesus gives us the answer in Matthew 6. Verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The greatest cost of our being critical and judgmental is that we will not be forgiven. And I hope we all find that very scary indeed. Now, I realize that a little bit here that I might have taken Matthew 7 and verse 1 out of its context a bit. Because Jesus is talking about hypocrites judging other people and doing the same thing. But it makes us a point also we need to think about. Judge not. Why? Why? Why not judge others? How many of us have had jury duty? We've had to judge somebody else, have we not? We are to judge righteous judgment, are we not? So why is Jesus saying, judge not? What could possibly be the harm? And he gives us that answer right away. Because with what measure we judge, that's the measure we will be judged by. And that's sobering. How we respond to others is how God will respond to us. And our relationship with others is crucial to our relationship with God. And forgiveness is also crucial to what others see in us. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, Jesus is giving the disciples, they asked him how to pray, and he was giving them instructions. But in verse 10, he said, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there a critical spirit in heaven? No. Is there any condemning of others in heaven? No. Is there judging of others in heaven? No. Is there any hate in heaven? No. When we are asking God to forgive our debts as we forgive others, we are praying for God to make us at peace with our own lives. The same kind of peace that reigns in heaven. And we can only get that peace by releasing, by sending away, by giving, by forgiving. If God's Spirit is to dwell on us, then we must stop judging and start forgiving. In John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus was talking to 11 of his apostles. Judas had already left the building. He was already doing what Judas had to do. And Jesus here, he said, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." When we stop criticizing, when we stop condemning and judging others with a spirit of forgiveness, the world will know that we belong to Christ and that we are committed to having His heart and His disposition. Forgiveness is a personal choice. Now, if you will, let's go back in our own minds to Jesus hanging there on that cross. In Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus has a choice at that moment. But it says that Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, Jesus had a choice to forgive or condemn. His choice. In the beginning of Acts, the early church was struggling with its new beginnings. It was a totally different way of life for them. They were doing a lot of things that we should be doing today, but it was a big change for them. And as with any change, it's a struggle. They were struggling to have the heart of Christ. Many succeeded and some did not. But if you go over to Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, you look on the ground and you see the body of a dying Stephen. Will he judge or will he forgive? Will he condemn or will he have the heart of Christ? His choice. He chose the heart of Christ. How can someone who's been hurt so badly forgive so easily? Because they choose to. Being critical and judgmental is a personal choice. Forgiveness is a personal choice. And maybe we don't feel like forgiving. You see, forgiving is not a feeling. It's an act of will. It is a determinate choice on our part to do what God has asked us to do, to have that heart of Christ. Now, maybe we haven't forgiven someone because as far as we're concerned, they haven't asked for it, they haven't apologized, and we don't think that they deserve it. But friends, forgiveness does not depend on the behavior or the repentance of the one that hurts us. We can judge, or we can forgive them anytime we choose. It's our choice to judge or to forgive. We don't have to wait on another individual to say that they are sorry. Please forgive me. Just forgive. Choose to forgive. And remember that forgiveness is a gift. But is this biblical? Is it biblical to forgive someone who has not asked us to forgive them? Is it what the Bible teaches? Yes, it is. When Esau and Jacob were getting back together, and Jacob was afraid because of what he had done to take away Esau's birthright. What did Esau do? He went up and hugged his neck. He forgave Jacob without being asked. But what about Joseph? And towards the end of the book of Genesis, and all his brothers were coming to get food, Joseph never condemned them. He forgave his brothers before they even showed any sign of repentance. Did David ever criticize Saul? No. He forgave Saul. Even the whole time when Saul was seeking out to kill him, David still had that heart. Because David knew with all his heart that Saul was God's chosen, that he would never allow what Saul was doing to affect his forgiveness of Saul. Forgiveness is a deliberate, rational act. It is not an emotional reflex. And we are truly blessed with such forgiveness. The hard part. Does forgiveness demand that we forget? There's really no obvious way to purge the memory of an offense. And the deeper that we are hurt, the more difficult it is for us to put it out of our minds, to forget about it. You talk with some and they think that, well, you're supposed to forget like we're some kind of a computer that we can just hit the delete button and it's all gone. But we're not. We're human beings. Yes, God promises to forgive our sins and to remember them no more. But obviously, God is omniscient. And he's all-knowing. And if that's the case, God does not lose his memory. So it's still there. But how does he fulfill his promise? He just refuses to call our sins to mind. He promises not to bring them up anymore. He doesn't hold them against us, and he doesn't base our future relationships on forgiven hurts and transgressions. That's how God does it. Now think about it for just a moment. What are we going to have to do at Judgment Day? If God forgot all the things and threw them all away, and if we're doing the very best we can, and we did away with all these and we repented of everything, we're not going to have a whole lot to say on Judgment Day, are we? We still have to answer. We still have to answer. Forgiveness simply means that we have removed that offense, that we have taken that hurt out of the picture of any future relationships with that individual. In Matthew 18, verse 21, Peter asked Jesus how many times he was to forgive his brother, and he said seven times, and Jesus told him in verse 22, no, not seven times, it's 70 times seven. Our human nature might think that that's unreasonable. That if somebody is going to do the same thing to me day in and day out and then ask me to forgive them, I got to keep doing that. I got to keep track. I've got to count up to 490 times, and then the 491st time I say no. What Jesus is saying is that we pardon, we forgive indefinitely. 70 times 7 means forgiving without keeping record. This thought is repeated in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 that basically says that love keeps no record of wrongs. And Paul in Ephesians 4, verse 32, he said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And our forgiveness should be as boundless as the mercy of God toward us. Jesus shatters all the limits anyone would try to place on human forgiveness. It would be very hard if I was the one nailed on that cross to ask God to forgive them all. To forgive the ones that put me there and to forgive the Roman soldiers who nailed me to that cross. It would be very hard for me to do that. But Jesus did. The fourth reason that we need to forgive is that relationships are worth it. An unforgiving, judgmental spirit is what causes divorce. An unforgiving, critical attitude robs us of a close relationship with our children. An unforgiving, carping, feuding disposition divides churches. An unforgiving, judgmental mindset destroys friendships. Our marriages are worth our conforming to the heart of Jesus. Our children are worth changing and having a forgiving attitude. Our church fellowship is worth having Jesus' disposition, and our friendships are worth are cultivating a Christ-like attitude toward others. It's time we close. But I can't close without saying, how can we stop this unscriptural judging while instigating a Christ-like forgiveness? First, we must have a change of heart. Attempting forgiveness without changing our hearts leads to serious mental and emotional problems. Forgiveness must not be hypocritical, but genuine. It must be true and of a pure motive. Two, we must pray for God's intervention in the process. We need to admit to him that we need help to soften our hearts, to give us patience and understanding, and to help us mold into the image of Christ. Three, we need to get out of the revenge business. We need to let God take care of that. That's his job. Or we must act on our good intentions. Be ready to say, I love you. Be ready to say, I forgive you. Do good to those that hurt you, and do not quench the spirit of forgiveness. We just need to do what we know to be right. There is one who is ready to forgive this very moment. If you are not a child of God, this is one who is ready to forgive you of your past and give you a clean start this day. Through faith and repentance and New Testament baptism, you can have that new start. Your past will be wiped clean. You will be given a fresh start. Today is the first and last day of your lives, if you want to really get down to it. Because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't even know if we're going to be back here this evening at 5 o'clock. Well, the decision that you need to make today should be made at this moment. If you desire to become that child of God, we want to give you that opportunity. Or maybe you have been walking around with an unforgiving heart and you see the need to change. Maybe you need to come and ask God to forgive you of something that has been going on in your life. If you have a need to respond to the invitation this morning, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.